Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And today's date is Thursday, November 21st. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 59 and the top of page 60, and we are going to be reading and studying step 11 and step 12. Today's readers are Sandy T. for the 12 steps, Letty G. for the 12 traditions, Shelley E. will read and comment on our share, Becca R. will close us out, and Margaret D., thank you for being here for backup. We also have Diane B. to greet our newcomers and Leslie M. to close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your service. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21928. That's 21928 for Wednesday, November 20th. And this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting's reference number is 21934. That's 21934. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Sandy T. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share and do service.
Thank you so much, Sandy T. And I will now ask Letty G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass, and have a beautiful day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Letty G. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press the star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 59, and we are reading step 11 there, and then turning to page 60 to read step 12. And I will now ask Shelley E. to please begin reading for us.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. I hope I'm unmuted. I'm definitely having problems this morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 59, step 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Oh, when they told me yesterday I was reading these two steps, I thought, oh, that's fantastic. I really feel fortunate to be able to do so. And since then, I've actually gotten very nervous. I read these steps all the time. And I thought, it seems like 3 minutes. How am I going to talk about this? But guess what? I'm going to say what comes to mind and let God do the rest. I do want to say for me, 10, 11, 12 kind of all go hand in hand. I'm sure for most people too. And it hasn't escaped me that for step 11, there is a huge amount of direction that we are given in the Big Book. And 12 is given an entire chapter. 11 for me is, I see it kind of like my bumper car step. It keeps me going. You know, sometimes I go a little too far left, sometimes a little bit too far right. No political intention intended at all, but sometimes I get a little off course one way or the other, and it's through prayer all through the day and instruction from my higher power that keeps me more toward where I'm supposed to stay. I'm not going to say that I am perfect in my prayer or my meditation. I set my intention for the day by listening in meditation to God. I pray for the next right direction. I review every evening. I do my review. I go through as I'm doing my 10 steps during the day. In the evening, I look and say, were those effective? Is there still room work I need to do? Is there still things that I've left unsettled? What kind of corrections do I need to make? I listen for God to tell me. I'm always constantly saying thank you. I noticed this the other day and I didn't really even realize that I do this, but during the day as things are coming up, I say thank you, God, no matter what it is. if it's a red light, if it's my child not being as kind to me as I think maybe he or she should be, I'm still grateful because I know there's a lesson there. I know there's a reason. I know that God sees the whole picture and I only see my little path. So I do stay in constant contact with God all through the day, whether the result is bad or good. I do. That's one thing that the steps have taught me is that God's will is not always, you know, what I might want to have happen. Let's see. And I know that one thing about step 11 for me, the promises have come true. I don't tire as easily. I'm not burning up my energy foolishly, which is one of the reasons I came into program. I was just a constant mess in my head, the chaos. And I'm not always trying to arrange life to suit myself. I've also learned to stay out of the way of other people's lives. Work and thinking about step 12, for me, I have constantly got to be sponsoring or looking for a new, I'm always sponsoring, period, but in the big book with a sponsee. So if I'm not in the big book every day with a sponsee, I am looking for a new sponsee. That is, I feel directed specifically to be doing that. And also I'm practicing the step 12 all day long with everything. My daughter always tells me, you know, Mom, I think everybody, and I'm sure she has not coined this phrase, everybody needs the steps in their life, whether they're an addict or not. And I believe that too. I think that the world would be a better place if we all lived by those, our principles and steps. Anyways, I'm looking forward to what everybody has to say, and thank you for allowing me to share my path.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. So we value everybody's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared in the last couple of days and you would like to comment on step 11 or step 12, please, we'd love to hear from you.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ. Anybody else? Karen, why don't you get us started?
Okay, this is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And step 11 is the key to my whole program. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. Since I have really made that the top priority for me, totally relying on God, improving that conscious contact, not just in the morning, but throughout the day, I invite God to take me over, you know, to think his thoughts, speak his words, act his actions, and for his glory, because I don't take credit for all these wonderful ways that I'm acting. I mean, this person who responds to people is not the old me, and I didn't make it happen. I will say that all the steps and the whole program and the fellowship are all part of it. But the most important thing for me is that relationship, that conscious contact. And one of the things that was a real turning point for me was this two-way prayer, which is basically, actually, I don't even do two-way. It's really basically every morning saying, God, what do you want me to know now? Tell me what your will is and be with me throughout the day. I've had some physical challenges and I've been a lot of fear around them. And I keep asking God to remove my fear and I keep trusting and relying on God. But the fear was still there. And a major miracle happened yesterday. I went to a doctor who told me to take this medicine and go to physical therapy. I don't want to do that, you know, just like the program. I don't want to do that part. And I realized, wait a minute, I was fortunate to go to a doctor who gave me his advice about what I need to do for this condition. And like a miracle, God just had me be willing to take the medication. I'm starting physical therapy today. And another thing, you know, I have these cramps at night. I mean, I got something my husband told me to do. It. I didn't have those last night. And then the thing I read this morning was about healing and that I was healing and focusing on all the good that's still in my body. And I'm over the moon here with God doing all of that. That's not me. And that's what this step is about, is improving my conscious contact with God. and doing God's will and allowing God to take over. So anyway, I'm just really excited today, and I'm so excited we're on that stuff so I could share that. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen KZ. Okay. Anybody else who has not shared in the last few days that would like to comment on steps 11 and 12? We'd love to hear from you.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Janice K.
Janice K. Anyone else?
Julie P.
Julie P.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. Okie dokie. Freya H., you'll be first, and then you'll be followed by Janice K. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks. It's Freya H., recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor, and I live in Colorado. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. I want to share on step 12, and then if I have time, I can talk about step 11. But look, step 12 is kind of like the crown jewel. It pulls it all together, and step 12 keeps me coming back to all of the other steps, because that's what we are. That's kind of how this thing works. You know, we don't just go through this once and then put the book on the shelf and we're done. It's like step 12 says, no, actually we keep doing this, and we keep doing this. And the way we do that is we work with other people and we take them through. So that is, you know, it's the secret sauce. It's the special formula that makes this different than information. You know, it's like one thing to have, oh yeah, I have this information. And it's another thing to have this become a living, working part of our lives, a way of living. And I learned that in the original manuscript of the steps, this was actually written. It said, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics. And I thought that was so interesting. You know, it's like, because the rest of the step says, practice these principles in all our affairs. That really is what we're doing. You know, we're whether I am working with someone in the fellowship or whether I'm just living my life or interacting with my family or anyone else, that's actually all part of step 12. You know, the principles, these spiritual principles in all my affairs. And so I really am carrying the message wherever I go. And hopefully I am carrying the message that that God wants me to carry. So so pretty powerful, life-changing stuff. And I love that it says we tried to carry the message, because it doesn't say, you know, that we some, but that's all I have to do. All I'm responsible is trying. And it's really important for me to remember as I am working with others that I can't do this for them. I can't, you know, give them a spiritual experience. I can't save them. I can't fix them. I just share my own experience and I just try. And for, you know, that is enough to keep me growing. So I don't know if I have any time to talk about step 11, but I'll just say that one of the words in step 11, it says conscious contact. So my understanding or conception is that God is always there, you know. It is impossible for me to be disconnected from God, but I'm not always aware of it. So this idea that I've entered the world of the spirit, meaning, oh, now I'm aware that I actually have been in the world of the spirit the whole time. I just didn't know it. Central, like, actually, moment. I'm a spiritual being. Thanks. I'll wrap. That I get to do it consciously and I get to invite more consciousness. So thank you so much. And I will pass.
Thank you very much, Freya H. Janice K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Julie P. Please share with us, Janice. Star one to unmute. Janice K.?
Okay, here I am again. Janice K.
you're here.
Oregon. Okay. I think that steps 10, 11, and 12 are the quick overview
of this new way of life we pursue. Step 10, I really like the thing I've heard in the rooms recently about the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. The tunnel is blocked with trash. We take out the trash. Step 10, we walk through the tunnel and we reach step 11 and we reach the light, step 12. Steps 10, 11, and 12 become for me the verbose enactment of pause, pray, proceed. The ability to stop and look at where I am and how I feel is part of step 10. It's part of the ongoing inventory. Before I can pause and look for a solution, I have to realize that I am trying to be in charge again, and I really need help. Step 11 is the pause. When I stop and I reach for that guidance, and I begin to develop the intuitive senses that guide me into step 12, taking the action. Pause, pray, proceed. Step 10 is masterful at dealing with the immediate reality of emotions. I am angry. I am angry because X, Y, Z. Call someone, talk about it. Step 11, there is a place for an evening review in my life. The evening review becomes a way that I can keep tabs on those hard-to-manage life amends. How am I doing when it comes to not arguing? Did I get through the day without being angry, without being afraid, without passing judgment? Those are my life amends. And if I don't have some way to keep track of them, when I do realize that, hey, maybe I have been a little into self-will and self-centeredness, I can go to my higher power and say, okay, we got some work to do here. Can you take this from me and give me a better way? So 10, 11, and 12 are how I live my life now. And this program may get to be a hobby for some, but I have to live it, and intentionally, daily, and some days moment by moment. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Julie P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Joan Marie M. Thank you, Julie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie P. I am a compulsive overeater currently in Minnesota. Thank you for hearing my name this morning, and thank you all for your service and for being here. It's important for me to be in the middle of the herd here, and step 11, I was just kind of reflecting on that. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since the end of 2021, and since then I have come to learn that step 11 for me right now is the most important step. 10, of course, is important, but if I do not continue to improve my conscious contact with the God of my understanding, I'm sunk. And I've had two relapses since not serious relapses, short-lived, but I know that if I do not do my step 11 every day and work on improving that conscious contact throughout the day, and building on that relationship with my higher power, I will be right back in the food. So I just am so grateful for this step, because that's what this program is all about. And if I don't work on that relationship, all I'm doing is a diet club. And it's very apparent that I need more than a diet club. So thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Julie P. Joan Marie M., you're up next, and after Joan Marie, we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on steps 10 and I mean 11 and 12, which you'll find on page 59 and 60 of the Big Book. Please share with us, Jo Marie M.
Good morning. It is Jo Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace of God. Wow, I love this program. I love this Big Book. And someone shared that. If everyone would just follow this book, the life, the world would be in a better place. But anyway, so the most important thing in my life is my conscious contact with God and His power to carry that out. I have no power. That's my dilemma. I have no power at all in of myself. So I ask God for that power. And the conscious contact with God every day is step one, two, and three. I can't. God can. I'm going to let Him. I'm going to step aside, put my will down, and ask for His. I always did a two-way prayer. I never knew what it was called. You know, if it's something that I really is on my heart and mind and don't know how to handle it, I write it out. Dear God, I don't know how to handle this, but I know You do, so I'm going to let You. One, two, and three. Such a simple program, but our minds, my mind, I should say, can complicate things at times. So that conscious contact of God is so important to me. It's about everything, every decision, every thought, every action. If I have a thought that is not a nice thought, I say, oh, God, I don't like that. I don't think like that about that person. Please take it away. And then I ask for forgiveness and help not to do it again. It's always in His power, not my power. It's always in His will. It's not my will. I am so grateful that I found this program. You know, I have faith, but this only enhances my faith. It really does. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much for all your shares. They're wonderful. Bye.
I agree. Thank you so much, Jo Marie. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 59, step 11, and 60, step 12, please let me know.
Amy K. Los Angeles.
I heard
Lisa M.
Lisa
Marcia
M.
T.
Carly B. from Michigan.
F. Oh my gosh.
Susan G.
Okay. It's wonderful. Okay. I'll tell you who I heard, and I know I definitely missed some. Okay. I heard Amy K., Lisa M., Carla V., Susan G., and I heard other people, but that's all I got quick enough to write down. Did I miss anybody that would like to share?
Marcia T.
Marcia T.?
McCall F.
McCall F. And maybe room for one more. Okay, let's save that just in case. I've got Amy K., Lisa M., Carla V., Susan G., Marta T., and McCall S. So, Amy K., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Lisa M.
Good morning, everybody. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. My name is Amy from Virginia. I think about myself as a battery that cannot hold a charge, and I need to plug in over and over during the day. Step 11 is the way that I do that. It's a little hard to talk about step 11 without talking about step 10. If I don't have a 10 in place, I really don't have an 11, because what I'm hearing is my voice. So if I'm going to riff on the St. Francis prayer a little bit, I've got to clear the channel in step 10 so that I can fill the channel back up in step 11, and then I can pour that channel out into the stream of life in step 12. I love that the Big Book gives me directions. My big brain likes to figure everything out, and that's where all the trouble comes from. So step 11 tells me three things. It tells me what I'm going to do before I retire, because the next day really starts the night before. I don't want to wake up with emotional hangovers. I don't want to wake up with active resentments. And I think everybody knows what it feels like to wake up with that huge ball of fear in the pit of the stomach. So I do that nightly review. It's kind of like being a sheep coming back into the barn at night, and the shepherd combs out all the burrs from my wool, so that when I lay down to sleep, there's nothing uncomfortable, there's nothing hot and sticky. I can be at perfect ease. And then the next directions are what I'm going to do upon awakening. I'm going to locate myself in the great reality deep within as soon as I wake up, so that I walk out into the day that way. And then I get directions on how to actually walk through the day. I pause when agitated. Nowhere in the big book does it tell me to sit down, screw on my thinking cap, and figure it all out, which is my default. That's the bondage of self. I have a centralized perspective that it is all on me. I am all alone. It's my job. Not only is it my job to go out and get my needs met, it's your job to satisfy them. And that dumps me into self-pity and self-seeking motives and dishonesty. So this step 11 really is the way that I keep plugging into power over and over again after I've cleared away what blocks me in step 10. Pause and pray frequently through the day. I'll text out a prayer to people. I like especially doing it in different time zones, because I never know when someone's going to respond. And that way, in the moment that I'm texting, I am attaching myself to the God of my understanding, and I'm also attaching myself out there to you in the fellowship of the Spirit. That's all I've got. Okay.
Thank you very much, Amy Kay. All right, Lisa M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Carla V.
Hi, I'm Lisa M. from California, and I wanted to thank everyone who makes this meeting possible. It's such a gift in my life. I think of 10, 11, and 12 as kind of a package deal. I've been in OA for 40 years, and I don't have 40 years of abstinence. I have had long periods of abstinence followed by relapses, and I've done that cycle more times than I would like to think about, because it just leads to misery and pain. But the good news is I've discovered, finally, that 10, 11, and 12 keep me out of relapse. They keep me in recovery, in a recovered state. And like people have said before, it's not one and done. It's something I have to do every day, and constantly to stay in a recovered state. But that kind of work that I do in 10, 11, and 12 is a lot less work than I had to do in the disease. So, with 11 especially, as Amy beautifully said, that instructions are explicit in the book. They tell me exactly what to do. They're open. They tell me I can use other things as well and make use of other readings and things. But it does give me specific instructions on what I'm supposed to do. And so it tells me about my review. It doesn't say I have to do it with another person, but I do find that it's easier for me to be accountable when I do it with some other person. So I do that as a regular part of my evening. And I review my day. I see where I've followed spiritual principles of this program and where I've strayed way to check and double check what I'm doing. On awakening is my favorite thing. I get to have that conscious contact with God and ask for guidance. I ask even for my thoughts to be directed, like, hey, get in there and help me think the right thing. And I love that. And that's one of my favorite lines up the whole thing. So I have an on awakening. I do. I've recorded myself saying it so that if I'm having trouble concentrating or something, I can put that on and have a guided prayer of exactly what it says in the book. The pausing and praying was very hard for me. I had to set alarms on my phone to remind me to pause and pray.
Reminder.
Thank you. And that is it for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa M. Carla V., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Susan G.
Hi, thanks. I'm actually Carly V. From Michigan. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who shared and everyone doing service today. This is just such a great meeting. I'm just so appreciative of it. So step 11, I had some recovery and then I relapsed and I'm reworking the steps, but I still have a step 11 practice. And my absolute favorite part of my day is the morning. I used to do more time, like dedicated time with God in the afternoon, just worked better in my schedule. But like my kids' schedule changed and now there's more time in the morning. I don't have babies waking up in the middle of the night and all those things. And I'm just so grateful for it. I find myself wanting to get up early and earlier to have a longer and longer, you know, extended time with concentrated time with God in the morning where I'm, you know, consciously can be in his presence and, you know, just focusing on that. And I just love it. I pray, I do my gratitudes, I do some quiet meditation. And that's often when I hear or just get the best thinking, like just something will pop in my head, like a solution to something or just a slightly different way to do something in my day that I wouldn't have, you know, or wouldn't have thought of otherwise. And it just makes everything easier. Like, I just feel like God is helping me in these little ways too during that time, because, you know, the communication channel is just open at that time and I'm not distracted by everything else going on in my day or blocked by emotions that I need to deal with through a step 10 or, you know. And then I often do some writing. I'm learning to do more and more writing the two-way prayer or someone suggested writing down. I get a lot of anxiety, everything I'm anxious about and kind of crossing each thought thing off and imagining giving it to higher power and then having higher power, what would higher power say back to me about those things? And I'm just doing more and more of that. And I find it so important. I'm kind of learning to give more of my feelings to God because, I know the step 10 practice and there's different things I can do, but I can't sit down always and write and do that as often as I get my uncomfortable feelings. But learning to give it to God, like in the morning, but then also throughout the day, someone used the word with me, having conscious like communication with God rather than contact. And that just made more sense to me to just keep talking to God and giving God my feelings throughout the day. But then, you know, I do it in the morning too. And it's just so helpful because I just feel often immediate relief when I just writing it down or just saying it to God throughout the day when I'm feeling an uncomfortable feeling. And then I just feel like I've got help with it all of a sudden. And then, you know, I'll often ask show me how you look at the situation or show me what I should do next as well. But even just saying like, God, I'm feeling really anxious about this right now. I feel better than before when I would just kind of keep it in or it multiply, you know. Thank you, until I could do a 10 step or whatnot, but thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carly. All right, Susan G., you're up next, followed by Marta T.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Elaine, and the rest of Team Thursday for November. At the beginning of the book, it tells me this is a wholesale miracle. And all I'm going to say is you have all added so much to my spiritual bank this morning. The shares have been fabulous. And there are so many good paragraphs coming up. I will tell you, I was thinking, oh, when would my third day be? When can I share again? Like, Susan, stop it. There's plenty of time. There's an AA speaker who I love to listen to. He's passed away now, Sandy B., and he always talks about you either have conscious contact or conscious separation, which is it to be. And when I look at these steps, I used to stare at in OA rooms and AA clubhouses going to open meetings. These were just there until I really studied this book and really started to seek that relationship. I made this decision in step three, a free act of my will. I crossed over and I said, okay, God, as I understand you, let's do this together. You guided me through. I've admitted I'm powerless. I've done this steps four and five. I've been into grocery stores. I've apologized to ex-boyfriends and things I never ever wanted to do. So I know that if I continue on this path with you, it's only going to get better. And, oh, I can't just pray for myself. And I start to look around and I pray for other people. And, yes, I love my time with God in the morning. And perhaps my mornings aren't as rushed, you know, as a lot of yours are, getting kids off to school and everything. But still, it's a conscious contact that I seek every day and all through the day. I don't leave God at home and come back at night and write, well, I could have done this, I could have done that. Because it tells me on step 12 that I'm going to have this awakening as the result of these steps, this rearrangement. And then I'm going to try and carry this message to others who want it. And of course, I can't stay too long and waste the opportunity of somebody else needing help or someone who may come back. And then when I go off out there into the world, this is a design for living. So it's not, I'll be back to you later program. I'll call into vision tomorrow. That will be my step work. I must practice these principles in all my affairs. So whether it be with people at the bank, you know, wherever it is, grocery stores, I try and be kind of loving. So I take God with me in all these situations. And, you know, again, at the beginning of the book, it says we hope that no further authentication will be needed. I am sold. It has changed my life for 25 plus years now, and there's no going back. And I love trudging with all of you. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Susan G. Love trudging with you all, too. Okay, Marta T., you're up next, followed by McCall S. Please share with us, Marta.
Hi, this is Marta T. in Maryland. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is just my second week in A Vision for You, and oh my gosh, getting so much out of these meetings. So thank you all for sharing today, because it's good. One of the things I like about step 11, or that jumps out to me, and it jumps out to me because it is in italics, is conscious contact, as we understood him. And it's also in step 3. And that shows me the tolerance of this program. We hear about the tolerance of this program in so many ways, like the requirement to be in this program is just a desire to stop overeating. Our principles tell us that we don't affiliate with any particular religion or political viewpoint. And this is just underscoring that, because even though many people in this meeting and in this program identify with a specific religion and a specific, you know, theology, which is great, this is telling us we don't all have to do that. Like, we don't even have to say God. We can say, because we have a power outside of ourselves. And step 3 and step 11 just bring that home, conscious contact with God as we understood him. So we're tolerant of whatever a person's theology or belief system is. They're part of this group, and no matter whether it's part of the dominant theology or not, we all have an equal right to be here and an equal shot at recovery. And I just, you know, it does jump out because it is in italics, and I just really appreciate that element of tolerance in this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Marta T. And McCall F. Is our next share, and we may have time for a couple more after that, one or two after that. Please share with us, McCall S.
Hi, good morning. My name is McCall. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater today. Thanks for your service, and thanks, everyone, for being here. And I'm glad for this meeting and to be on this line this morning and, yeah, hearing the solution, staying in the solution. Two more steps to help me stay in the solution. Yeah, I was thinking too, I like what was shared about, you know, 10 kind of leading. I mean, it's like all the steps to me seem to build on each other. This step though, like the 11, like prayer and meditation. I mean, I was using prayer before I got, I guess you would say food sober or abstinent, but you know, like, God, please help me. I won't do this again. And today it's a little different. You know, I have an event tomorrow that has been fraught with emotions, and, you know, I won't mince it. Food thoughts have come in, and, you know, thank goodness I just keep coming. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not always responsible for the first thought, but I am responsible for the second thought. And thank goodness you all have trained me so well. It's like, okay, the second thought, get on my knees, you know, ask my higher, for me, that's because I need to like come to like a dead stop, you know, like sometimes I'm praying and driving the car, but I need to come to a dead stop and ask a power greater than myself. You know, it's almost like I'm going back to step two, like, help me. Yeah. And then how can, you know, from there turn, you know, how can I be of service to others? And I like too what was said, you know, not just recovering food addicts, but like maybe I just, you know, ask whoever's with me, you know, how are you? Tell me about you, just to get out of myself. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have time for 1 2-minute share. Who would like to share for 2 minutes?
Roberta D., North Carolina.
Roberta D., North Carolina, please share with us.
Thank you. Yes, and it's Roberta G., like green. You know, I usually am, I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Asheville, North Carolina, and I often am on the 7 o'clock meeting listening, and I overslept this morning. And so I hopped on to this 10 o'clock meeting, so grateful that I did, because I really wanted to share on step 11. You know, two-way prayer is something that has come into my life recently. I was at a retreat where it was mentioned, other fellows mentioned to me, and I said, what is it? Can you explain to me what two-way prayer is? And as they did, and I started writing to God in the mornings, I have been so happily overwhelmed with the messages I've gotten from God. And I feel that my conscious, and it's because they're within me, because God is in me. So he's answering me, and I'll read sometimes what he said to me, and I'm like, oh, wow. That is like some wonderful guidance and knowledge. And it's just opening my heart to him in the morning. And then those riches just pour in. I am so grateful for it. And I just wanted to say one other thing about reading upon awakening in the morning, which I always do. And occasionally I'll be dashing out the door. I won't have time. I'll get in the car and I'm running to the gym. And so I'll put it on a YouTube, and it's like I fasten my seatbelt and I put on awakening, and I just feel like upon awakening is like my seatbelt, my spiritual seatbelt. You know, it keeps me safe during the day. I am just so grateful for all of you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Roberta G. All right. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. This is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.